Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me, Tim Dennis. And our guest this evening is Stephen Eulish. Before we go back to our guest, I do want to make a quick mention. We heard a PSA a little bit earlier about teenage suicide. I know this is a crazy time of year for a lot of people, and it seems like 2008 has hit a lot of people in a lot of bad ways. I know around the holidays, it always gets into a situation where people's depression seem to get the best of them. I just want you to know there is help. If you need someone to talk to, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's a 24-hour toll-free suicide prevention service available to anyone in suicidal crisis. If you need help, please dial 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. You will be routed to the closest possible crisis center in your area with more than 130 crisis centers across the country. Their mission is to provide immediate assistance to anyone seeking mental health services. Call for yourself or someone you care about. Your call is free and it's confidential. Folks, I understand that there's a lot of stuff going on. We're in a crazy world right now, a political environment that's insane, war that we don't know that we want to be in anymore. Economic status is crazy. People are losing homes. They're dealing with illnesses, dealing with all kinds of financial crisis. There is an answer. It isn't death. Remember, that's just a temporary or a permanent solution to a temporary problem. So please do seek some help and get help from people that are able to help you. I know that a lot of us reach out to friends and relatives and loved ones and radio show hosts, and we don't always have the right answers either. So give a call to somebody who is ready to talk to you, and we'll know where to get you the best help at 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255. And please have a happy, healthy holiday season. We're going to go back to our guest now, Stephen Eulish. Thank you for joining us here this evening, Stephen. We appreciate your insights and talking to us about the different aspects of the paranormal and the dangers that you see involved in this paranormal field. I want to wrap up with some of the ghost stuff. What do you think people should be alerted to most? What would you want people to take away from your talk tonight about ghosts and ghost hunting and this huge wave of popularity that's going on right now?
Well, I would want them to take away that in most cases, I mean, they're not real. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. I think they're just demonic apparitions. They're not their old loved ones or some famous people from the past, or, you know, people's spirits are unfortunately either in heaven or in hell. They're not just wandering the earth. That's not, the Bible doesn't talk anything about that. There's no reality to that. So I think what it is in most cases is a demonic apparition that's there, or it might be a dead Nephilim, as I said, some hybrid human. But they're not human spirits. They're not relatives or friends or famous people from the past or anything like that, because the spirits are not there. I mean, the Bible says that they're not just wandering the earth like that. And so to be very wary of it, to be very wary when you see that thing. If you see it, and it's like with UFOs, people say, well, how could you say it? I mean, I believe that they're real, but they're not what people think they are. Just like ghosts, I believe, may be real, but they're not relatives or friends or famous people. They're just demonic apparitions that are out there to mislead them, or to confuse them, or to trick them, or to deceive them. So be very wary of them. That's what I would say, Dave. Be very wary of them. They're not what you think that they are, or they're not what they want you to think they are. They're not that at all.
Do you think it's bad for people just to, you know, enjoy the entertainment aspect of horror movies and TV shows like Ghost Hunters and Paranormal State and Ghost Whisperer Medium? Is it okay to enjoy that as long as when they turn the TV off?
I like a good... my wife and I love science fiction movies, mm-hmm. and horror movies or whatever. In fact, that new movie came out,
The Day the Earth Stood Still. Right.
I mean, when the original came out, that was one of my favorite movies, and I tell you how old I am, in the 50s. I mean, that was when I was growing up. That movie really affected me. That's how I got involved, I think, in UFOs and all that stuff. So it was entertaining. Or I haven't seen the new one, but I've read about it. Seems entertaining, but again, don't be misled the fact that the Messiah is going to come on a spaceship. You know, which we see from all the articles I write for the UFO Digest. I've written 50 articles in 2 years, And those are carried over on about 100 different websites, paranormal websites and UFO websites. And I've said repeatedly that they're not aliens. I don't believe they're aliens. I feel they're demonic beings. They're fallen angels and coming here to trick us and deceive us. So I don't think they're going to come here and save our global warming problem or our poverty problem or make peace for the whole world. They're not going to do that. You know, they're going to come here to trick us and deceive us, and you think we're in trouble now. I'm much more the kind of the science fiction movies where they come to destroy the Earth, like Independence Day, as opposed to when they're going to come and save us. You know what I mean? And no, I don't believe that our Messiah is Jesus. Our Messiah is not some space alien. Although some of those UFO people say that Jesus was an alien. Anyways, but you get...
Right.
So, if you want to enjoy a movie is what you asked me, Dave. You know, I enjoy those movies.
But you believe that they should, once you turn off the TV, you should let it go. Do you think it's an unhealthy obsession, all the people that are involved in ghost hunting and paranormal investigations?
Yeah, because I said they're searching. I mean, I did all that stuff.
Where do they find the answers then? Where can you tell them honestly that they can find their answers?
In the Bible, but they'll think they won't listen to that.
Well, no, explain to them why, though. Because, you know, the problem we get so much is, you find your answers in church, and then we turn the TV on, and another priest has molested a child, and this pastor is caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and I go to church to check out this new church, and from the minute I get in to the minute I leave, it's browbeating me on why I should give 10% of my income, and I don't hear a word of God. What I hear is greed, and gimme.
So yeah, I know that.
That's why people avoid, I think, the church and avoid religion so much. So if you say the Bible, why? What about the Bible will people find
answers? Well,
because
the Bible's not church. I mean, just read the Word of God is what I'm saying. But I one quick point. You just said that, and you're absolutely right, Dave.
Right.
I always say that Satan is you know, in the world or whatever, Satan's as much in the church as anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And you get all kinds of screw between the molestations with the Catholics and the homosexuality with the evangelicals. I mean, you got to. We're all humans, and we're all messed up. I mean, you know. So, in fact, my pastor said that yesterday at church. He was saying, "Don't look to me." He said, "I'm just like you. I'm a human, you know. And I got failings, and I got problems. And in fact, my pastor was a former drug dealer and alcoholic, and you know. So I like him because he's real. I mean, I'm just like me. I mean, I know both of us had very powerful experiences that took us out of the worlds that we were in. He didn't go to seminary. He calls it cemetery. He said, all these pastors tell me I should have gone to cemetery, and I didn't go to cemetery, so I can't know anything because I never went to Bible college. I mean, he's a, you know, not a very learned man per se. You know, he was a truck driver, from 18-wheeler for many years, and was drugs and alcohol, blah, blah. But he's real because I know where he's coming from. He loves the Lord. Anyway, I got off on a tangent, but I would say read the Word of God, you know, the Bible, but that's easy to say, like you said, because you say that to people and they don't know where to come from, they don't know where to start. I guess I would say to them, like I say to you, Dave. I mean, you know, just call out to the Lord. I mean, just call out to the Lord, and tell Him to reveal the answers to you. He will. I mean, if you ask sincerely from your heart, I'm not talking about your pastor or your church or whatever. You know, just ask God directly. Please give me answers. Tell me what's going on. You know, and once you
but we've
some
built
direction.
Such a paranoid society in the paranormal community that everybody's afraid that there's a demon under every you know, every floorboard as it is. So here's my fear, and I don't know if I mirror this of my listeners, but I can tell you what I'm afraid of is if I call out to God and say, God, I need the answers, I'm going to question when I get the answer. How do I know that this isn't some BS that's being given to me by somebody pretending to be God? I mean, it's not like God comes in with an ID and says, yeah, look right here, American Express card says God, you know it's me.
No, I'm just kidding. But that's a good question. I mean, I can't give you an answer. If I give you an easy answer, there's no easy answer. You're asking very good questions, Dave. And all I can say is, when it's real, you'll know it's real. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. You'll know that you know that you know. I knew that I knew that I knew.
Right, but in the end times, when the Antichrist...
There's a lot of deception out there. You're right.
When the Antichrist comes back, he's going to appear as a being of light, and you are going to know because he can rise from the dead, and he can cause peace and love and this and that and the other. So if that can be done, shouldn't we... I mean...
Yeah, leave Obama out of this. I'm sorry. but, you know, people can be deceived, or people are going to be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right, but that's not a reason not to try. I see what I'm saying. I don't know what else to tell you that you'll know that you know. But whatever this.
But we as humans, man, we're so fallible.
You've got to read the Word of God. You read the Word of God, and if it matches up, if what he says or matches up to the Word of God, then you know it's real. If what he says doesn't match up,
but so many of us don't really know the Word of God. I grew up in a Lutheran grade school. And attended, and I went through catechism, and I went through Bible study, and I went through this, that, and the other, and I still can't tell you. I can tell you generic versions of stories from the Bible, and I would have thought that, you know, that our relatives would be there to meet us, because I could have totally sworn that that would be how God would send forces, have people that would, you know, bring us to him and you know, be in our court of appeals as we go before God and Jesus and have to answer for every naughty thing that we've ever done. So that to me would make sense. But as humans, we're fallible. I mean, it's obvious by my two failed marriages. I thought I knew love. I thought I knew the right moment when it happened, and I was wrong. How do I know that this is the right thing to do and this is the right God to listen to?
Oh, that's a good question. And I'm not God, so I can't give you definitive.
You're not? Damn it, Tim. I told you to book God for tonight.
I'm sorry.
All right.
You got this Jew boy. Anyways, I'm telling you, that doesn't mean you shouldn't try. I guess that's all I'm going to say, because the questions you're asking are very good questions, and the concerns you have are very good concerns. But I keep saying, you know, you'll know that you'll know that you'll know. And when God touches you, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're going to know. You're going to know. And you know, that's... And if somebody tries to give you a pat answer, you know, some pastor says, well, why don't you do this? I mean, my line that I use that's got me in a lot of trouble over the years is that there's a lot of... I don't know if I should even say this. There's a lot of good people in hell, and there's a lot of bad people in heaven. You know, people think, oh, the bad people go to hell and the good people go to heaven. No, no, no. There's a lot of good people in hell. There's a lot of Gandhi, Buddha. I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, that did... Mother, I don't want to say Mother Teresa. But there's a lot of good people, people who did good things, you know, but yet really didn't believe in Jesus. But there's, on the other hand, there's a lot of bad people, or people that were bad, I should say, not a bad people, you know, that turn their lives over and are now in heaven. And, you know, that's my people, the Jewish people, get very upset with me, if you get upset with me when I accepted the Lord. But they said, you mean to say that all these Nazis, they love that one. You mean to say if Hitler, on his, before he committed suicide, turned his life over to Jesus, he's in heaven? I said, well, I don't think he did, the odds are. But if he did, yeah, he's in heaven. And they just freak out. So I said, you know, anybody like my pastor, the drug-running alcoholic, and me, the New Age Kabbalah guy. So, I mean, you know, we all have all kinds of failings. You do, I do, we all do. The only thing that makes us clean is Jesus. He takes on our sins. He's a sin-bearer for all men. And so, I mean, that's the only way we can get into heaven, is he covers our sins. But we're all sinners. The Bible says we're all sinners who've fallen short of the grace, you know, so fallen short of the mark, excuse me. So
I've got a question from the chat room. One of the chatters going by the name Pasta Sunday says, what's the best advice for people who want to feel the presence of God?
Ask for it. Ask God. If you're sincere, from the bottom of your heart, ask God. Say, God, I don't know what's going on. I'm confused. I don't understand. We all feel that way. Just give me the answers. Touch my life. Come into my life. Reveal yourself to me. Tell me what the truth is. I mean, that's what I said. I have a personal relationship. When you have a personal relationship with the Lord, you talk to him. It's like he's a friend. He's the Holy Spirit. But, I mean, you know, like he's a friend, a comforter. Just go to him. I mean, he's not some distant God up there that's going to, you know, put fire and brimstone on your head, you know, and like the Old Testament does. God's not like that, you know. He's a loving friend. and just ask him as a friend. I don't know what's going on.
Well, he's a loving friend in the new generation, in the New Testament. In the original Bible, he's a pissed off old man who thinks everybody's getting smacked upside the head with a board. I mean,
that's an Old Testament. Yeah, well,
what changed him? Having a kid? Is that what softened him up?
Yeah, I mean, dealing with the Jews as your chosen people, that's a real trip. You know? I mean, my people are stiff-necked about it. You know, every Jewish parent thinks his kid is God. His firstborn, that's another joke, thinks his firstborn is God.
But anyway, with you.
So, it really changed. That's a good point. I mean, it was more from a sort of a fire and brimstone God in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. much more to the New Testament, which is much more loving. You know, that's why always people say, and we've had these discussions about homosexuality, which is going on now, and same-sex marriages and all that kind of stuff, and people are very upset, and they say Christians are judgmental, and they hate us, and et cetera, et cetera. No, we love everybody. God loves everybody. God loves them. God loves us. We all have failings, and you know, I mean, if I didn't love them, as I've written many times, it's a different issue, particularly letters to the editor of the local newspaper, I wouldn't tell you what I believe, but what the Bible says is the truth. You know, I just let you, anyway.
We have to take another quick break here, Stephen. Stay with us. Our guest is Stephen Ulish. We're going to be back with more and more discussion on aliens after we come back on this break. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, Tim Dennis. Tune in for the best of sinning radio every week as we talk about all the things that God is going to someday chastise us for in heaven. Stephen, I'm feeling bad and bleak about my future now. Thank you.
Sorry.
Well, hopefully we're shedding a little light. We have guests on like you that can give different aspects. You know, we do at events, when we go on a paranormal investigation, I bring in a Roman Catholic demonologist by the name of Adam Bly, and it amazes me how many times people will come out of his talk and say, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. I don't even want to be here for the rest of the event. And they'll leave. Huh. And it seems like, you know, the people that need to hear the message hear it and get it. And you may not get everybody. You know, and I get a kick out of too. So many people will email me over the next 3 days after listening to these in the archives and be like, wow, what are you talking all this religion crap and blah, blah, blah. They'll talk about ghosts, UFOs, aliens, angels, but heaven forbid we bring in religion. They don't see that there could be a tie to, you know, what's going on in our world, which may be why their lives are absolute crap right now. And so many people that we know are dealing with that is because their lives are in turmoil from dealing with the wrong thing. So I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your wisdom and ideas and insights, you know, whether it's a popular belief or not. As I'm watching the chat room, some people are very into it. Some people think it's old school thinking and, you know, you're the one going to hell. So it's interesting, but I think for the people that are listening that this needs to be heard by, they'll hear it, and hopefully it makes a change for them. Let's talk about UFOs. I thought it was an interesting title of your article, Extraterrestrials Tremble at the Name of Jesus. I've got to ask you this, okay? God is an artist, right? He's a master of all. He created this silly little rock, and he put all of us here, and then he continued. And he created a huge universe that's ever expanding, according to science. Why would an artist quit with one masterpiece? Why would God, okay, yeah, I'm not saying that he didn't create us in his image and put us here, but how do we know that on other planets he didn't decide, well, you know what, this isn't working so well, these people are kind of morons, let's try it over here and see how this one works. And let's try this planet and this planet. I just have a hard time thinking that God would do all of this and create all of this expansive, extensive universe and then just put life on one planet?
Well, that's a good question. And, you know, and to be perfectly frank, I mean, there are many Christians who do believe as you do. Mm-hmm. Not all of them believe like I do. In fact, some Christians come after me for that. I just, from the school, believe, as I said, that God, that we are very unique. We were created in the image of God. I believe he created the whole universe just for the earth. I mean, I've seen studies which show that if...
He created the whole universe just for the earth?
Just for the earth. And Hugh Ross, who's a very famous astronomer, Christian man, who wrote this book and said if if it was 1 degree hotter, 1 degree cooler, if we were a little bit closer to the sun, a little farther than the sun at the start, if everything was set up just to create life on this earth, and I know that sounds very egocentric, but I believe that, and I believe there's not more advanced people out there.
Why create all of this? If he's God, we could be 2 inches from the sun. If he doesn't want us to burn, we're not going to burn. If he wants us to freeze, we're going to freeze. It's kind of, which is obvious what he's doing to us here in Minnesota. Apparently, we've pissed off the Lord in Minnesota because it's brutally cold right now. So much for global warming, Al Gore. And you know what I'm saying? I'm not putting you on trial
exactly
with this.
What you're saying, yeah. But he created it that way. You know, it was created so we could have life. And that's why I say we haven't found any life on other planets. We won't find life on other planets. If we do find life, intelligent life, on other planets, then throw your Bible out. That's what I say to people. I mean, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, you know, but you cannot have the Bible, the Word of God. It wouldn't match up if there's other beings that are more advanced than we are. Than humans are, because I just think that goes against what the scriptures, the Bible says, that we're created in the image of God and we're special, and et cetera. And Jesus came for us. I mean, did he come for all people on other planets? Was he crucified on all these other planets as well? No, I don't believe so. So it would create a whole different universe. See what I mean? If there is intelligent life on other planets, or life on other planets. And I just don't think so.
What do you make of these things that, the crash in Roswell? So many high-up government officials, government personnel saw this thing, picked it up. Mm-hmm. Was it the Nephilim?
I believe it was fallen angels, as I said.
Okay.
In fact, that's interesting. That was in 1947.
Yeah, 47, I believe, yeah.
Which is the year I was born. Anyways, but what a year.
Hmm. So coincidence, Tim?
I think I fell off.
I think not.
But I think the reason that it happened, we go off into this is another whole tangent. The reason it happened in 1947 was because Satan knew that his time was getting short, and 1948 was a reinstitution of recreation of the State of Israel. And that's not a coincidence. I've written a lot about the correlation between Israel and UFOs and everything, because I think, as the Bible says, that Satan knows his time is short. Once Israel was recreated in 48, began the countdown for the end times. I mean, the Bible said 2,000 years ago that the Jews were going to be reconstituted. Nobody believed it. It was in Jeremiah. Many of the prophets said that over 2,000 years ago when they were, when they were exiled. And
what do you make of the mentions then of what people have claimed are UFOs in the Bible?
Well, again, I think that there's something. I don't know what they are, flaming chariots or something they call them.
Right, the eye in the sky that turned upon itself. I mean, it sounds like a classic UFO.
It sounds like it. Yeah, so I think that Satan has always been around, and these are fallen angels. Like I mentioned, the Nephilim, they created the Nephilim, mated with women, earthly women, and created their children, the giants, the Nephilim in the Bible. But I think, and even now you see how many cases of UFOs supposedly taking semen, abducting people and women, and blah blah blah, and men and women doing sexual experimentation. So I think that's been around for thousands of years. The Bible talks about that. But anyways, what was your question again? I'm sorry.
No problem. Well, I'm just curious with.
Bible.
You know, actually looking at the time, Tim's signaling me. We got to take another break here. It's 11:30. We'll be back with more Stephen Ulish. We'll get back more into the aliens and what are they, where do they come from, and what are they doing with us. We'll be back with more. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Tim Dennis, my co-host and producer, sitting in with us. This evening, we're speaking with Stephen Ulish. And Stephen, do you have a website people can go check out your writings and information on?
Yeah. sorry.
I've got it on our website. Do you want me to just send people there? They can check it out at darknessradio.com. Click on the...
it's at a9.com. And
right, it was kind of a crazy website, if I remember the whole deal.
Little, that has my two books, and should have my two novels, End Time novels, and most of my articles, yeah.
All right, and go check that out. Go to our website, go to upcoming shows, click on Stephen's link there, and you can go check out his website and information. And right now we're discussing UFOs, aliens, and their place in our world. You don't. So you believe that they're now. Give people again the background a little bit on Nephilim.
Okay.
The Nephilim are the Bible, angels.
Okay, the Bible's very clear in Genesis.
Uh-huh.
It says that the sons of God made it with the human daughters of men and produced our offspring, which were called Nephilim, which is usually translated as giants, but I think it really means the fallen ones. Giants came from the a mistranslation, I believe. But anyways, so, I mean, all this is biblical. And I believe it when it said the sons of God, they were talking about fallen angels. And if you look at the early church fathers, some of the Tertullian and Ambrose, and they all believed that they were angels, fallen angels, mating with human beings. And I believe, looking back, I believe these were extraterrestrials. These were what we call now extraterrestrials. They were fallen angels mating with human daughters of men. They got the Nephilim. They were there. The Bible's very clear. It says that they did not. These angels did not keep their proper abode, and they came down and messed around with strange flesh, which was.
Well, weren't those the angels that he put in charge of watching over us, and they're the ones that decided to take the?
No, these are angels that left their heavenly abode, sort of like Satan. They left their heavenly abode. God told them, "Don't mess around with human females." And they did it anyways. They went down and mated with human females, created the Nephilim, which are their offspring. So, and then God got so upset that that's what the great flood, that's what Noah's flood is about, was to wipe out all this I would say alien DNA, alien DNA, fallen angel DNA, that killed all the Nephilim off and all the fallen angels off. That's why God did the flood, and that's a whole different perception when people realize that and think about that. See what I mean? That's an explanation why God wiped out everything from the face of the earth, because they had all this.
But where is the proof? Where are the proof of these other than written in the Bible? Why don't have with these genetic giants? Why aren't we finding their bodies? Why aren't we finding any of the proof? Physical.
Well, some people would say that if you look at really start researching Nephilim. They talk a lot about giants. They found all these giant skeletons in Iraq and Iran, particularly in the Middle East. So I don't know if that's them, but there have been people that do find all these things. You don't hear about it very much, but there is evidence of that. And not only the Bible, but a lot of apocryphal work, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Even the Dead Sea Scrolls, when they dug them up in 48 and they found all these early writings, they talk about the same thing. They talk about fallen angels coming mating with human females. The book of Enoch talks about it. A lot of the apocryphal writings talk about it. So, I mean, particularly the New Testament, the book of Jude, the book of 2 Peter, I'm looking at, talk about these fallen angels coming, messing around with females. God got.
Why would you believe these are aliens, though? Did they describe them like an alien is described? Green, gray skin, big eyes, slip mouths?
They just described them as angels. They talk about angels. Came down and sinned. Made her with human females, and God threw them into hell and Tartarus, into this darkness. So, extrapolating that, I would say that not only were they angels, they were fallen angels. They were not good angels, bad angels. But I think that's also what we call extraterrestrials, because that's still going on today. We still see supposedly aliens coming down and abducting human females and getting and doing all kinds of experimentation on them, taking their eggs out or ovaries or whatever. And I think the reason, people say, why did they do that? Why did these fallen angels come down and mate with human females? What they're doing is they're trying to destroy the messianic bloodline, which was of Jesus, which was pure. And if they came down eventually, started mating with humans and getting these Nephilim offspring, and eventually the human bloodline would have been corrupted, and therefore Jesus could have never been born because he was pure. So, I mean, it all fits together. You know, and as I said, now with Israel, anyways. But, it's interesting. There's even a line 2,000 years later in Paul in the New Testament, after the Genesis, when all this stuff was going on in the Old Testament, Paul tells women in the Corinthian church, he says, you got to keep your heads covered. Why do you have to keep your heads covered? So you don't tempt the angels. Now, that comment always sounded so obscure. Why would he say something like that? But if you look at it in the context of what I'm saying, it makes perfect sense, because more of these fallen angels came down afterwards even after the first group was thrown into hell for mating with humans. There's more. And I believe they're still coming down now in spacecraft as opposed to flaming chariots like you talked about before, because that's something we can understand. Remember you talked about the angel, your grandfather, is something you could understand.
Right.
Well, we can understand, because our technological society, we can understand a spaceship coming down, because that's part of our technological world that we live in. So that's why they're coming down on that. They don't need that. They're fallen angels. And if you saw that, I don't know if you saw my one of my articles, I have a picture of what I believe, or an image of what I believe these fallen angels look like. And they got these huge black wings and black face. And I got that over 20 years ago when I was involved in Kabbalah. I sort of channeled that from the spirit world, this strange image. And I used that, God sort of used that later as the primary image of what I called Azazel, this fallen angel, in both of my novels, you know, that was coming down here to corrupt humanity. It's interesting. I don't know. There's a lot of...
Mention the name of your novels so people can look for them.
The Great Harpazo Deception is the first one, and then Invasion Israel is the second one, which is really the sequel to the first one. And I just quickly, Dave, the point I've had in both books is, I believe that the rapture of the church is going to be happening soon. That the Bible talks about God's going to take, that's what harpazo is, the actual Greek word for rapture. He's going to take the believers off the earth before the whole thing falls apart. It's going to be explained to those left behind here on earth as an abduction by UFOs. That's why there's so many UFOs here, more and more, because that's something people could understand. People would rather believe... My children would rather believe if I disappear that I was abducted by an alien, by a UFO, than I was to be with Jesus in the air. That's a great deception that's coming, that the taking of the church off of the earth will be explained as an abduction by UFOs. See, it all fits together. I think that's Satan's great deception. That's why he's coming and we're seeing more and more UFOs and more of this, more movies, more books about UFOs. It's so much in our consciousness now. So people will buy that lie that when we disappear, when Christians disappear, they won't be taken into the air with Jesus, as it says in the Bible, but they were taken in UFOs.
All right. So you believe that that's how it's going to appear to them? Is that your novel version that that's what you believe is going to happen?
That's what I wrote in both my novels, but I believe that is what is going to happen.
All right.
I wrote it as fiction, but I believe it's faction. I believe it's actually fact. It hasn't happened yet, but I believe that is what is going to happen.
Right. We have to take our final break here, and we'll be back to finish up with you, Stephen. Thank you very much.
Stay tuned,
everybody. We'll be back with more Darkness Radio. You know, Tim, that PSA talking about, be careful, it's party time, but the cops are out there.
Right.
I like how they make the cops like, oh, those bastards. They're going to ruin your fun time by busting you.
Yeah.
How about if you people just don't drink and drive?
Well,
how about just safety sake and not taking somebody else's life into your incapable drunk-ass hands?
Well,
how about if you just stay and get some help from somebody who can drive or remain sober?
Well, yeah, that's the easy way out.
Yeah, you think? I don't know. I get so worried at this time of year. I know it's fun to party. It's fun to go out and everybody thinks they have control. You know what? It's better to err on the safe side. If you've had a couple drinks, get a ride home.
You're full of PSAs tonight.
I am, man. I'm worried. I worry. Right. This is the time of year I worry. Do you know how many emails I get a month within the month leading up to Christmas and the month after Christmas of people pouring their hearts out to me about how they want to end it? Every year since we started this show.
Really?
Oh, hell yeah. I get suicide emails all the time. So
I just get the emails that say, I have a problem downloading your show.
That's because I forward those over to you. I'm not going to send you the suicide emails, man, because you're like, oh, you're so full of crap. Go ahead, kill yourself. I dare you.
No, I wouldn't
kidding. But no, I get
a
lot of
big old hug and maybe
right.
some homemade
brownies. I get a lot of emails about that. And people ask me to, they're feeling bleak. They feel like they've come to the end of the road. And, you know, I don't know why it is. Maybe we need a different radio show during the day, Tim.
I think the Dave and Tim Happy Hour.
Yeah, that's right. Happy,
Japan.
Happy, joy, joy, and we talk to you about why you need to live. But it does worry me. There is a lot of the stuff that goes on this time of year. Again, if you're one of those people in a position where you're feeling bad about life and you need help, You know, I'll be happy to listen to you, certainly, but, you know, go to a professional, get some help through 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. That's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Just talk, reach out, get some help from people that know how to give you the right answers and we're better at listening. You know, I want you to be happy and healthy and have a good new year. So please be safe out there.
And remember to eat all your fruits and vegetables, kids, and follow the food pyramid.
Yeah, you're scoffing. Yeah. I'm worried about my listeners, you scoffer. And please be careful driving. We're going to go back to our guests. We've got about 7-8 minutes left with Stephen Ulish. Stephen, thank you very much for joining us this evening and sharing your insights with us. We appreciate it.
Enjoyed it.
Just talking about more with this, how do we... I don't know. There's just so much, you know, there's so many questions in this realm of theology and the paranormal. And you know, one thing I'm curious about, let me ask you this, because I know we've kind of exhausted the UFO deal. You've made your point on that very clear. I'd like to ask you about mediums and psychics. What do you make of the 3-year-old child or 4-year-old child who can see dead people and knows things about your family and relatives that there's no way they should know about, because they're passed on? Does that make them a person of sin, even though they didn't call out and ask for these abilities? Does that do you believe that the Bible then says that they are sinning because they're doing these things, consorting with the dead?
That's a good question. I don't know if they are sinning, but I think what's coming through them is demonic. So they're a vessel or a vehicle for that. I think children are not really accountable. I mean, if it depends how young they are, like you said. I don't think that they really know what they're doing, but they are being used as a vessel or a vehicle for demonic activity.
Well, then I ask you this. God is all-powerful. God loves us. If the rapture happens tomorrow, he's taking the children and the believers, right?
Correct.
They're going to go. So that means he's got special protection over the children. Why would he allow, and I understand that there's free will, but I can guarantee you that it is not the free will of my 3-year-old son to see spirits in his room. He's not looking for them, and he's not asking to see them. Why would the Lord allow these things to appear? We have a very good friend of mine, Sheila, who's dealing with a son who is very gifted in, I guess it's a tough word to use, gifted, but has the ability to see spirits that make themselves known to him, severed heads, just horrifying deals. This child is terrified to be in his room. Why wouldn't God give protection? There's been prayer left for this child. There's been people stepping up trying to do everything they can to put a shield of protection around this child, and it just keeps pouring through. How do we, you know, how do we assess that when, you know, right now the world feels like God's kind of left us alone already? You know, in the paranormal field, how do you address things like psychic ability and these kids with these types of things going on?
I'm not God. I mean, you're asking a question. That's a good question. I don't know, you know, why he allows it, but God allows different things to happen. It doesn't cause them to happen, but he does allow Satan free reign in some areas. He allows it to happen. I don't know why he allows it to happen, but I think that the people should be concerned because that child is being used for demonic activity. He's not willfully doing it, but he's being used as a vessel, you know, like you said, to see these things or do whatever he's doing. So I think that's very potentially dangerous for that child, you know, getting involved in that kind of activity, even though I don't think he's willfully necessarily doing it. Like you said.
And understand when I'm coming at you with the questions.
That? I don't know why God doesn't tell me why he does everything.
And when I ask you, I'm not trying to put you on trial for God. It's just being somebody who actually has taken the time to read and understand theology. I'm looking for more of the insights that
not only God does good. You know, my pastor says, you know, God does good all the time, and all the time God is good. So I believe that. So, I mean, I don't know why he's allowing this to happen with that child. There's a reason. I mean, there's a reason for everything, but we just don't know what it is. I don't know what it is at this time.
How do we protect ourselves from these things, from these purported aliens and from demonic interference in our lives as ghosts or spirits or whatever? How do we? We've got about 4 minutes left. How do we protect ourselves? What can we as laymen do to assure that we won't be bothered?
You do exactly what I told you, what I wrote in that article. You call out the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the demons tremble, you know, at the name of Jesus. So I think that Jesus, the name is created above all names. It's not just a name, it is the name. And I said, in that article, I said, I've done that. When I was attacked by demons one time in a vision or a dream, whatever you want to call it, I think it was real, and they were out to kill me, and I called out the name of Jesus, and they fled. They left. I mean, I thought I was going to die. I was being bombarded by these black ants anyways, and that was shortly after I became a believer, and I didn't know really to do it. I had never thought about it, but somebody told me one day. I remembered it, and I did it. So I've said that in my articles several times. I said, if you ever feel really in fear and dread of a UFO or a demon or a ghost or any of these demonic activities, just call out the name of Jesus. They'll run. They run. They tremble. That was the point you raised from the article. They tremble at the name of Jesus.
But do you have to have belief? If you call out, if you're not much of a religious person, or you grew up with it, but you're kind of standoffish at this point. If you just call it out, I mean, isn't it? I could just call out the name Bozo the Clown. Would it have as much impact?
Go for it. No, you know, there's an interesting quick story. My mother was dying. This is 30 years ago. My mother was dying of cancer, and my sister was taking care of her. And you know, we're both Jewish, and she's really not really religious. And my mother was in so much pain, and she said, "Oh, I called out, Bob, please." Something in the pain to go away. And she said, I tried the name Moses, pain go away, no. Buddha, pain go away, no. She said, I just tried to think of it. I said, Jesus, make the pain go away, and the pain went away. Now, she'll never tell that story anymore since I became a believer, but she used to tell that story all the time. So obviously, you don't have to be a believer, but it's just such a power. I mean, it's probably better, but it's a powerful name. And she called out the name of Jesus, and the pain went away. And my mother died shortly after that. So I believe, hopefully, that she had turned her life over to Jesus on her deathbed. I don't know that.
Well, I'll throw out this last quick little bit of story just to kind of share, give people a little bit of, you know, thought following up on that. It was interesting. About 10 years ago, I was locked out of my home. It was a bitter, bitter cold night. And I tried getting in through the front doors and windows and trying to get in. I'd left my keys inside and was locked out. Had my baby and a new puppy out there, and I'm thinking, what the hell? This is, I'm locked out. I got to go in through the garage window. I asked my roommate at the time, stay here with the kids and the dog. I'm going to run through the back. Went to the back, tried to get in, couldn't. I lifted one of the stepping stones, hit the window, and it didn't break. I hit the window again, didn't break. Hit it the third time. I dropped the stepping stone and looked up to the sky, and I said, all right, God, if you have a better plan for me, I'm listening. And I looked down at the window, and I pushed it, and it swung open. So I crawled in through the window, went in, let everybody in. When I came back down, went in there to go check the window. I'm figuring, great, I got to figure out how to fix this. And when I tried to open it from the inside, it wouldn't open. I went back outside and pushed the window, and it was latched and locked. Glass had not been broken. Latch wasn't broken. Nothing was broken. Wow. So I will say that the few times that we've called out on God, I've gotten responses. So I do recommend that is something for people to
utilize. Call out. He'll answer.
Well, Stephen, thank you very much for coming on the show this evening and spending time with us. We appreciate it, and especially appreciate you spending that time with us this way.
Keep searching, buddy.
I will, and keep writing great articles and sharing them with us. I'd like you to shoot me an email on them when you have new ones out there as well, and we'll post them and let people know about the new articles as they become available. Have a happy holiday season, Stephen, and thank you very much. Merry Christmas, sir.
Happy holiday crap.
Well, you know.
All right, take care.
All right, take care, my friend. Thank you all for listening, and please, from the bottom of Tim and my heart, please be careful this holiday season. Thank you for making Darkness Radio part of your family every Saturday and Sunday night and spending time with us. We appreciate it. We got a lot more coming up. And, guys, we're coming up quickly to our third anniversary. We're going to have some fun on our third anniversary show, and I hope that you'll be here with us. We'll be back with more next week. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight, right here on 100.3 K-Talk.